Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
When mice and rats set up shop on our property, their habits can be a problem. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our experts in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, he is Mr. Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Great to see you, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, you dirty rat. Dealing humanely with rodents, and by rodents, we mean specifically mice and rats that tend to get an idea to maybe winter over in our sheds or garages and that sort of thing, and they can be problematic. They can carry up to 35 different diseases.
Yeah, and they are filthy in that regard, and oftentimes when I let an expletive go, I overlook the word rats, because it sounds like an expletive, and it's a great way to go. But yeah, you know, and the thing that's interesting to me too about the mice and the rats in particular is how small a hole they can get through. So a rat can crawl through a hole about the size of a dime.
That's amazing.
And a mouse even smaller.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm an animal lover.
Yeah, because we're telling you to treat animals humanely to discourage them.
Yeah, right. So their little faces are what you might want to look away from.
Yeah.
Because when you encounter these animals, their little faces can make you fall in love with them in a second, but they can bring a lot of trouble.
Yes.
And this has been explained to me from various points of view for, you know, farmers who are managing livestock, and they feed the stock outside, and you know, so the animals get a full whack at it. It's really hard to discourage them from doing that, because the feed is in the feeder for a long enough time that the mice and the rats kind of even figure that out.
Oh, certainly. But of course, you know, I had a bag of grass seed in my garage that I'd only partially used, and went out there in February, and I just nudged it a bit, and a bunch of mice ran out of it. And I realized they chewed their way through the bottom, and now I had grass seed all over my floor. So
they're ingenious. They
yes,
will
they
sit
are.
And watch you from a concealed position and kind of learn, when can I run into the garage? So if you're mowing the grass and
yes.
you park the mower in the garage, it might, you know, it's good for personal security, but it's also to keep the critters from setting up camp in there, because they can be very patient, and they can sit there and wait for their opportunity to just gorge themselves on the grass seed, the dog food, the cat food, mm-hmm. even the cushions on your lawn chairs. There's
yeah, they
a lot
might
want
to get in there to get warm, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff they can do damage with, and when you have a problem when the animal creates an unhealthy or unsafe condition. I say that because a lot of us have sheds, and you see a little mouse in there, and you know one mouse never stays one mouse.
Yeah.
One mouse, two mouses make four mouses.
Right.
Right? So it goes down the road like that. But you got to know what kind of animal you're dealing with. Is it a rat or is it a mouse? The rats seem to kind of laugh at the mouse traps.
Mm-hmm.
Rat traps cover everything, including people, right? They're dangerous to have around, so if you have pets and children.
Yes.
You got to be careful about what you're going to do, but you got to keep it legal. Can't do anything crazy like find the den and take a shot at it, or
no.
fill it with gas and light it.
Oh, no.
That's crazy.
No, we're talking about being humane.
That's right. That's crazy stuff. And another thing you can do is to kind of anticipate their activity because of the seasonal conditions. So here at Illinois State University in the Fell Arboretum, we're finally getting some glances of winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really unseasonably warm and lack of rain. So it's been like extended vacation for the mice and the rats and even some of their friends like the mole, the vole, chipmunk squirrels, and ground squirrels. They can all pose some of the same threats.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week of mice and men. Well, mostly mice and rats.
Mostly mice and rats. And, you know, then there's another thing you need to think about, too, if you're encountering mice or rat infestations, is are you the person to fix it?
Yeah, I was wondering, should we just call a professional to have them removed?
I think that there are cases when you should, but there are divisions of responsibility. So homeowner and property owner falls on your shoulders. if you are in a piece of rented property, it might not fall on your shoulders. It might be smart for you to report it to the property manager or the association folks and let them know, say, hey, I've got all kinds of mice coming in, and you might find that other people have had the same thing, and then they can quickly share what the best solution was. But in the habitat, modification is the best strategy. 3 points in the habitat modification: reduce the food and water, reduce their shelter and exclusion.
So this was my problem. I should never have left that bag of seed sitting in my garage.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's interesting because the strategies are similar to a mitigating household pests. So, you know, you would never leave dirty dishes on the counter or in the sink overnight because that can offer something for the ants, and God forbid, some cockroaches or something like that. But habitat modification is not just reducing their food and water sources, but, you know, if you're feeding the birds, you want to manage that bird seed.
Yes.
And when it starts to pile up on the ground, that means you stop feeding the birds until they've eaten up all that stuff that's on the ground. What's on the ground is within reach for the rodents. And you don't want to kind of inadvertently help the rodents by overfeeding your birds. We all love the birds. And if you feed your domestic animals outside, like pets, you know, you don't want to do that. That's unsafe for many reasons, primarily because of some of the gunga that's in chipmunk and raccoon urine. It can be harmful to your dog or cat. And when you're overfeeding your birds and if it attracts deer and things like that, that's a problem too, because wasting disease is spread that way. So that's kind of a two for one. If you're managing the rodents from foraging on spilt bird seed, you're probably not going to have deer.
Okay, so it's like a domino effect there, a very positive domino effect. So don't overfeed the birds.
Well put, Laura. And we want to reduce the shelter. So if you stack wood fuel, you know, you got wire firewood stacked at your property, you want it far from the house, and you don't want more stacked than you can burn in a reasonable period of time. What's reasonable? A couple years. So if you have more than that, start sharing it with your neighbors or have a couple extra bonfires during the fall time.
Okay.
And keep that down, because that's a great condo for all the mice, you know. And exclusion, this is kind of the widest one that has, you know, the obvious fences and barriers and scarecrows. And, you know, you want to caulk and fill all the little holes in your foundation. And even think about where does the snow go when you have a measurable snowfall? Does it go up over a couple of bands of siding on the bottom? And then there's that little hole where the telecable line comes into the house.
Right.
Well, if the little mousey or rat can get their nose or the end of their foot in there, they can make that hole bigger and bigger. And they will use that port as a way to get into the construction of the house.
What about using one of those electronic devices to discourage rodents? Do those work?
I have had experience with those used for grackles and blackbirds and stuff, and they seem to work very well.
Huh.
I can't tell you for sure on the ones for rodents, and I know they work very well for insects. So if you have a basement or garage, those devices work well. And some library systems even have these devices that you can check out and take it home for a while and return it.
That's an interesting. So you get a chance to see if this works on your property.
That's right. Or get a model that's made for commercial people, because the Corn Belt Library System is who I got the grackle and blackbird thing from. And after I used it, it was easy to find out who sold it and have one of my own.
That's great.
And that people overlook their fireplaces and attics and stuff like that. Think about where the mice can come in. If they can mice can climb a tree, so can a rat. They get on the roof. Roof fence, all these things, you want to clog those up.
Okay, great advice there, Murph. Let's keep those mice and rats at bay. And next week on GLT's Grow, we're getting into the season with some Christmas tree alternatives. And if you've got a gardening question or problem, send it to us. We'd love to hear from you, wglt.org/grow.